John chapter 4, and I will start reading with the first verse and read down through verse number 14. That's only a portion of this circumstance, but it will be sufficient for our purposes. John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. I'll stop there for a moment. The typical route for the Jews was to circle Samaria. Samaria was a country a little north of Jerusalem, kind of in the center of that land, if you can kind of picture it in your mind. And what the Jews would do is they would go towards the Jordan River and they'd go along the side and then they would come back over on the top of Samaria and they would just bypass it. Because the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along. But Jesus here, or the scriptures record for us here, that Jesus says, I'm going to go straight through Samaria. Because I have an appointment I need to keep. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, which is just about in the middle of Samaria, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? And there's a double there. Not only a Samaritan, but a woman of Samaria. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And then the account proceeds on to describe how the disciples came back from the city and saw him talking with the woman. And the woman went back to the city to bring out her friends and family and loved ones to see this man who told her everything there was to know about her. Surely this must be the Messiah, don't you think? And so they came out to see him. And he talked to them and taught them, and there were multitudes of people from that city who came to faith in Christ. Well, that's the rest of the story. I want us to just examine actually this latter part of the text that we read when he says to her, If you would have known who you were talking to, you would have asked of me and I would have given you living water. And then she says, Well, the well is deep. How are you going to do it? And then he describes to her, Whosoever drinketh of this water, they'll thirst again. But the water that I give will be a well of water springing up within them into eternal life. And he uses here the symbol of the well and the water and the thirst as a symbol, an opportunity to talk to this woman about the Holy Spirit and His work and His ministry. And what would be some of the features and characteristics of this work, of this person, the Holy Spirit? And it's a very valuable teaching about the Holy Spirit. And it's valuable for us in our day for several reasons. First of all, our present times kind of dismisses the Holy Spirit. We talk about the Father and we talk about the Son and really not very much about the Holy Spirit. We kind of set Him aside and we don't really talk about Him very much. And oh yes, we have these other believers who emphasize the Holy Spirit a great deal, almost to the exclusion of the Father and the Son. And so there's this wide disparity. On the one hand, there's those that's all they talk about is the Holy Spirit. And then this other branch that virtually never mentions Him at all. And it's important for us to see what the Scriptures, especially what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, so that we can be instructed and taught, so that we might know and understand what the Scriptures teach us about the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit of God is to mean to us as believers in Christ. We have a great deal of, shallowness in our spiritual lives collectively within the professing Church of Jesus Christ because of our setting aside of the Holy Spirit. We have a tendency to rely upon works and upon our own efforts and upon our own strength and our own gumption rather than the Spirit of God. Well, I want us to examine just these latter two verses, verses 13 and 14 that we read, regarding the Holy Spirit. And I want us to see just three things here about the Spirit of God. Number one, the symbol that is given to us, and what it means and how it applies. Secondly, I want us to see the satisfaction of the Holy Spirit, because we're told here that this water satisfies. And the third thing I want us to see about the Spirit of God is the supply of the Spirit of God, because there's plenty, it says. It's a well of water springing up. So I want us to see these three aspects of the Holy Spirit and how they can apply to us and how the Spirit of God can work and function and operate within us, His children. First of all, let's take a look at the symbol itself. The symbol itself is a well of water. Notice what he says. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. He shall be a well of water springing up. What's the picture here? Well, it's not a pool. There's a lot of different ways we can view and picture a collection of water. One of them's a pool. Well, it's not a pool. As most of you would know, a pool of water out in the land somewhere, just kind of a collection of water. It really is not very alive. It's kind of stagnant and comes and goes as far as the amount of water that is there, depending to an extent upon the weather and temperature and so on, and the seasons. But it's not a pool. It's not like that. Nor is the symbol a cistern. A cistern is a collection of water. Water drains into it and it's kind of a collecting spot. And the water collects there and it too doesn't have any real life to it. It's just kind of there. And it too will fluctuate as to how much there is available depending on other circumstances that drain into the cistern. Nor is it a lake. Sometimes lakes are a blockage of a river or a stream. They'll block it up and some water will collect there and it'll be a lake. No, those are not the pictures that Jesus chose. The picture that Jesus chose to describe the Spirit of God is a well. And a particular kind of a well. It's a spring-fed well. I remember as a kid, we would vacation at a spot north of here. And outside of the property where we would go to vacation was an artesian well. And if you know much about wells, artesian wells are the ones that are constantly flowing. You can't shut them off. The water just keeps coming and coming and coming. Well, that's kind of the picture here that the Lord Jesus used to describe the Spirit of God. He shall be a well springing up. Constantly springing up. No circumstances dependent upon how much there is there, like with a pool or a cistern or some kinds of lakes. No, there's a spring there that is springing up the water. So the outside conditions and circumstances will have no effect upon this well of water. It will be springing up. Now we notice that the scriptures speak a great deal about the Spirit of God in this fashion. Water. And especially abundance of water and water springing up. A little later on in the Gospel of John, John chapter 7, the Lord Jesus makes reference again to a well of water, only this time he calls it rivers. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, he says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me, for he that believeth on me, out of his belly, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water." Making reference to the same kind of a picture that the Lord Jesus used here with the woman of Samaria at the well. So first we see the symbol, the picture of the Spirit of God is like a spring-fed well of water, constantly springing up with great abundance and supply. The second thing I want us to notice here about the Spirit of God is this. The water in this well satisfies. Because notice what he says. If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of this well, you'll never thirst. Now first let's understand what he means when he says you'll never thirst. And how that is contrasted with the phrase that he used to the woman, if you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. We need to understand the description here of what the Lord is trying to explain to this woman. We have a fallacy in which we believe about the Spirit of God, for example, the one time fits all. The Spirit of God came into your life when you became a believer in Christ. In fact, it's the Spirit of God who regenerates you, who gives you new life. That's all you need. That's it. One size fits all, one time fits all. Don't ever talk about the Spirit of God again. That's all you need. He's there, and that's it. And we, as a consequence, lack the Spirit of God. And as we lack the Spirit of God, we begin to hunt for other things because we have some thirsts. We have some needs within us. And so thus man, in his attempt to satisfy his thirst, has tried to quench that thirst with a variety of thirst quenchers. Money, position, education, things, goods, travel, shopping, homes, lands, and on the list could go. And we try to satisfy our thirsts with these things. Jesus says, if you drink of that water, you'll thirst again. In other words, what he's saying, those things will not satisfy you. You'll thirst again. And not only will you thirst again, but you'll get tired of the houses and the lands and the position, and you'll need something else to try and satisfy that need. that you have within you. And you'll go from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing to thing to thing, trying to quench your thirst. And for a while it may in fact quench your thirst, but it never truly satisfies. You'll thirst again. You'll need something else to come in and satisfy those urgings within you. And for a while it will satisfy you, just like water that we drink, and you drink from a well from within the earth. Yes, it will satisfy for a while, but then you need something else. Jesus said, the water that you get from this well will not satisfy. And the things that we use as humans to try and satisfy our thirsts that are within us and to satisfy our longings, they cause us to thirst again. They don't satisfy. For a short time, perhaps, but not over the long run. We want something else, more, different variety. And we see it in our world, we observe it, and perhaps even in our own lives do we observe it. Doesn't satisfy. And Jesus said, if you drink of that water, you'll thirst again. Ah, but he said, if you drink of the water that I give you, from that well that springs up, you'll never thirst again. Now what does he mean by that? What he means by that is, where you used to go from thing to thing to thing to thing, trying to find satisfaction, you will discover in the Holy Spirit and His work and ministry within you, you will in essence say, ah, I found it. You don't need to hunt anymore. You'll never thirst. You won't need these other things that come and go, and the constant search for the new and the unusual and the different to try and satisfy. You won't need those anymore. You'll have found it. You won't thirst anymore. It will satisfy. And yes, there will be within us the desire for more of that which we have discovered will satisfy us. We will want more of that. We will thirst for that more and more. But we will never thirst again for all of this constant search for the variety of thirst quenchers. For we will have found the thirst quencher, the Spirit of God, who is a well of water springing up within us that satisfies. The deepest longings of our hearts, of our souls, of our spirits will find satisfaction in what the Spirit of God provides to us. That's the second thing I want you to notice, is the supply. That's the third thing I should say. Satisfaction is the second thing. The third thing is the supply. The provision that the Spirit of God has for us, the supply. Notice it says, you will never thirst again, for it shall be within you a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Notice also it says, he shall be in you. So there's three things I want you to notice about this supply that the Spirit of God provides for us. First of all, the location of it. We don't have to, like this woman, go outside the city to a well and drop down a bucket into the water and draw it out. An external location. No, the Spirit of God is in us. He dwells and resides within us. I have a friend of mine who used to, and I'm sure he did it deliberately to make a point, but whenever anyone would say that he was just so glad that had the Lord beside him in his difficulties, he would say, oh, wait a minute. What did you say? The Spirit of God is within you. He's not beside you. He's not out around someplace. He is within you. Well, there's a distinction there between what the Spirit of God does and where He is. The Spirit of God is within us. and he operates within us as one on whom we can lean. But we must not forget that the Spirit of God is within us. And that is a distinction from the Old Testament saints. There were some in whom the Spirit of God dwelled, and they were described as being full of the Spirit of God. For example, Joseph was described by Pharaoh. He spied on him and says, "Where else can I find anyone like this in whom the Spirit of God dwells?" We read it about, believe it or not, Samson. He was described as being filled with the Spirit of God from his youth, from his birth. And there are other examples and illustrations in the Old Testament of men and people who were filled with the Spirit of God. But that was not the norm. Usually the Spirit of God was upon them or beside them, if you will. Ah, but Jesus said this was part of the revelation ministry that the Lord Jesus brought, was the fact that the Spirit of God shall be in you. And notice that distinction that he mentions here about this well of water. You don't have to go to some place to try and find it. It's going to be within you. The Spirit of God shall be within you, a well of water springing up. Notice, secondly, the longevity of this provision. It's eternal. It's everlasting. It isn't temporary. It isn't short term. It isn't just something that happened, well, that happened in my youth and I can never experience that again. Oh no. Nor is it a situation where, oh, I can remember when I was saved and God really spoke to me and that was a very precious, special experience that I had and I can never have that again. Oh yes, you can. It's an everlasting thing. It's a supply that goes into everlasting life. It's not something that has an end to it. It isn't something that once you achieve or experience a particular, I hate this term, but for our frail minds to help us understand, a certain level, a certain experience with God, that isn't the end. There's more. There's more. And it's not an end. There isn't an end to it. It's an everlasting thing. You will never thirst. Once you have drunken of the water of the Spirit of God within you, you won't go back to the other thirst quenchers. You won't go back there. You'll never thirst again. You won't desire those things, for you will have found in Him something that is everlasting. Something that goes on from now throughout eternity. Notice the third thing about this supply of the Spirit of God within us. It's limitlessness. It's limitlessness. Great abundance. There's great abundance here. A spring of water is bubbling up constantly. It doesn't come for 3 months out of the year and then you got to somehow survive for 9 months and then it comes back again. Oh no, it's a constant supply. Ever springing up. Notice also it's inexhaustible. It's inexhaustible. Not only does it continuously come, but it's inexhaustible. You're not going to 5 years from now say, oh boy, I guess there was the end of it. No, it's inexhaustible. It will continue. There's no end to it. Notice also because of its nature, it is available. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to walk 5 miles on your knees with peach pits under them to somehow warrant the water. No, it's available. For it is within you. And it's ever springing up. It's a well of water, ever springing up, so that it is constantly available to us. We read in Isaiah chapter 44, he says, "I will pour water on him who is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground." Floods, abundance. The example here is the well of water constantly springing up. We read the account in John chapter 7 where it says, "For he shall be within you rivers of living water. This spoke he of the Holy Spirit, we read. So the Spirit of God is within us, a constant, never-ending, abundant, limitless, infinite supply. That's the picture that the Lord Jesus gives to us of the Spirit of God within those who ask of Jesus. Notice he said, if you would have asked, I'd have given it to you. But what are the implications of these truths? And then we'll close. First of all, they teach us and point out to us and help us to see the transience of worldly things. We think they're going to last forever, don't we? And we count on it being there forever. And I don't have to worry because I've got my bank account here. Oh, do you know how quickly you can lose that bank account? Not even counting your own foolishness or the trickery and deceit of others, the government can come in and take it in a moment. And it's gone. Then what have you got? It's transient. It's fleeting. The things of this world will not last. Very short time. They're transient. And because they are transient, they can only please over a short term. And we will be constantly seeking something after that. Once it's here and it's gone, then we'll look for something else. Oh, the things of this world are very transient. Secondly, notice the inability of worldly things to satisfy. If you are looking to the things of this world to provide for you that which only God can provide, you will be dismally disappointed. Because it can't. It's impossible. It'll never satisfy. Jesus said, you'll thirst again. You'll want something else. Maybe it'll give you a little bit of joy and pleasure for a short time, and then you'll need something else. And that'll satisfy for a little, and then you'll need something else. Things of this world will not, cannot of their very nature, satisfy the deepest longings of our hearts. The third thing I want us to notice is the character of God. Notice His grace and His mercy. He didn't have to give us the Holy Spirit. Not only did He not have to give us the Holy Spirit, He didn't have to give Him within us. And He could have given Him in such a way that, yes, we have the Holy Spirit, but that's kind of it. We have to kind of bump around through life without anything being provided by the Spirit of God, just kind of bump from thing to thing to thing like we're doing without Him. No, notice the grace and mercy of God. It's abundant. It's gracious. He provides it for us. He gives Him within us so that He's constantly there. There's nowhere we can go but what we have that supply available to us in abundance. And hopefully it would encourage us to desire more. To drink more of that well of water that is the Spirit of God, and to drink of Him in His water, His inexhaustible supply, His ability to truly satisfy us, and to go to that well and to drink from that well. We have all found Him satisfactory in the past, haven't we? We can all point to occasions that, oh yes, I can remember when the Spirit of God satisfied me, when He did this in my life, and He did this in my life. Well, then why are you running someplace else? Oh, go to the well that satisfies always. Never thirst again. Well, how can the Spirit of God now apply them to us, these truths? What can He do with them? Because that's His work. As children of God, He is within us. He wants to provide for us. What can He do with these truths about Himself and His function and His operation within us? Well, first of all, He can refute error. He can open our eyes to see the false notions that we have held about the Spirit of God. And that the Spirit of God is our friend. The Spirit of God is one who is given to us by the Father and the Son to dwell and live within us. He is not one to be shunned and to be feared. Those are all error and false. Reject them. Set them aside. It's not true. Second thing the Spirit of God can do is open our eyes to see the truth of what the Lord Jesus is revealing to us about the Spirit of God. That He is a well of water. And all that that means, and how He was given to us by the Lord Jesus and by the Father, that He might live within us, that He might provide for us that living water in great abundance. We can open our eyes to that truth and to see it and understand it. The third thing He can do is He can reaffirm the truth. You say, well, Tom, I've heard of this before. Well, it's a good reminder then, isn't it? It's good to be refreshed in our mind and our understanding. And perhaps in reviewing it again, our knowledge and understanding has grown and expanded. And we've seen a new vantage point of the truth. And even the old truth have been kind of re-cemented in our minds and our hearts. Yes, that's true. That's right. That's true. I know that's true. And to be reaffirmed in our minds with that which is true. Fourth thing the Spirit of God can do is refresh us with the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There is a freedom in the truth. There is a refreshment in the truth. There is an expansion. There is a joy. There is a peace that we can experience because of the knowledge and understanding and the presence of the truth. Fifth thing is we can revere Christ. That's one of the works of the Spirit of God. That's one of the things that we drink from His well. Springing up within us is to revere and understand Christ. It is the Lord Jesus who offers Him. It is the Lord Jesus who said to the woman, if you have asked Me, I've given you this water. Next thing the Spirit of God can do is can rebuke us for our sin. Where have we held false notions and understandings about the Spirit of God? Where have we set Him aside? Where have we denied to Him His rightful place in our lives? Where have we quenched Him? Where have we suppressed Him? Because we can do that. We can do that. We can, even though this is the kind of thirst quencher that will satisfy all of our longings, we can revert back to our fleshly impulses and desires, and we can taste again of those things about us. They'll not satisfy. Only He satisfies. Where have we done that? Where have we set aside that which is truly satisfying to try and taste again of those things that don't satisfy? Well, the Spirit of God rebukes us for our sin that He might bring us to repentance. That He might reform us and change us and revive us and bring us back to this experience of drinking from the well of water that springs up into everlasting life. How will you respond to the truth? How will you respond to the work of the Spirit of God in your heart and mind? You can just reject it. You can set it aside. You can even relegate it to tomorrow and say, well, I'll think about that another day. I'll think about that again some other time. I got these other things that I'm really worried about right now. You can set that aside. You can re-examine yourself. You can re-examine the truth. And you can recover the truth. And you can reaffirm that truth in your mind and in your heart. And you can permit the Spirit of God to realign you in your thoughts and your attitudes and your actions to the truth. Find that what Jesus said about the Spirit of God once again is true. The Spirit shall be within you a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Something that is truly satisfying. You'll never thirst for these other things again. You'll find them not satisfying. Oh, but He will satisfy. In great abundance. I pray that the Spirit of God will work in your heart and mind to bring these truths to fruition in your life. That you will experience what Jesus described here to this woman. That the Spirit of God is within us a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. something that will truly satisfy. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this example, this experience that you had with this woman in Samaria thousands of years ago, and how the truths that you communicated to her on that day are still true today. That we can ask of you and find that living water. That water that satisfies. It is a well of water within us springing up unto everlasting life. Abundant, infinite, rivers, floods, you said. Father, I for one want the floods. I want the rivers. I want the abundance that you have described in your word in relation to the Spirit of God, and I want that. And I pray that that would be the experience and desire of those who have followed in our study together. And my friends here, that they would desire that as well. And that we would find individually and collectively that the truths that the Lord Jesus presented here are true. It shall be. The Spirit of God will be within us a well of water springing up in abundance, in floods, in rivers, out of our innermost being unto everlasting life. May that be so, to the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus, of His Father and our Father, and the Spirit of God. Amen.